In our first session, we saw that disregard for God's moral laws leads to suffering for ourselves and for others, but that the suffering does not always follow directly or immediately. We discussed how people will often tempt faith by engaging in dangerous sports and death-defying escapades for the thrill of it, because of the risk and danger, but also because death or injury is possible but not definite. Equally, many people disregard God's moral laws for similar reasons, hoping that they can get away with it and avoid suffering consequences. They dice with moral danger. We cheat the tax ban if we think there's a good chance we can avoid detection. If there was a 100% check on all our claims so that we were sure to get caught, we would be honest. Since the introduction of the contraceptive pill, promiscuity has increased tremendously, so much so that it is now widely considered to be morally okay and acceptable behaviour, and some even saying it's good. So as the risk of danger from unwanted pregnancies, etc., is reduced, the incidence of immorality increases and is widely approved. God does not want us to be obedient because we fear certain and immediate retribution, but because we acknowledge him to be our God and we want to be his people. And because we recognize the wisdom and rightness of his laws, this is what we want from our own children. Accordingly, God has not ordered things in such a way that there is a definite, fixed and immediate suffering for every moral lapse, but rather a general warning. This is an act of love. Giving us bad results for ignoring his laws can help us to avoid them if we are prepared to listen to his warnings. The suffering which results from our willful neglect of God's moral laws should stop us, but we are just as rebellious and disobedient as those Israelites of old, and so reckless that it doesn't stop us. There is another type of suffering in the world which we could alleviate, but we don't. I refer to the suffering of poverty, starvation, and famine. We now know that there is sufficient money and productive capacity for food in the world to feed everyone amply. But worldwide, we spend $1 million per minute on armaments and let the people starve. So deep is the indifference and hardness of heart of the people of this world, especially those with riches. Throughout the Bible, God gives us a choice: to live his way or the world's way. We choose to ignore God's moral laws. We cannot then blame God for the results. It is my experience that those who ask the question, "Why does God allow so much suffering in the world?" are not committed Christians. Christians tend to understand that we create our own problems by our disobedience. The reason people ask why doesn't God do something is because they desperately want to see suffering eased and realize that we cannot achieve this ourselves. But the question we ought really to ask is, why don't we do something? That is, follow God. And the question we must ask ourselves individually is, am I part of the world's problem of suffering through disobedience to God, or am I part of the solution to the world's problem of suffering because of my obedience to God? It is up to each one of us. In these first two sessions, we have discussed the subject of suffering in the world against a background of God's moral laws, and have seen that our breaking these laws deliberately brings its own suffering with it. In our next two sessions, we will see how throughout history mankind has brought about great suffering as a result of departing from God's ways, and as the Bible says, every man did what was right in his own eyes. This is a prescription for disaster.